When I'm speaking to women's groups, I often talk about finding your red shoe friends. Red shoes, as every woman knows, are...
Yeah, please explain it.
Really?
I'm following this.
Red shoe friends are those friends that posture you back to purpose. They're the sorts of friends that we need in our life at these times. So friends that will be deliberate.
And welcome to Marriage and Family Life from familylifeaustralia.com. We invite you to stay tuned for practical advice and encouraging stories to bring you hope and to enrich your marriage and family.
We all experience disappointments from time to time in life, but how do we react to those disappointments? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today with the author of A Fascination with Forward, Deborah Candler. Welcome back to the program, Deborah.
Thanks, Eric.
Glad to have you with us. And we had you on previously on Marriage and Family Life, basically focusing on forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Today, we want to focus on dealing with disappointment. Mm-hmm. What happens after you had the rug pulled out from underneath you? How are you going to react to it? And, you know, that's part of life, whether it's marriage or family. We're all going to have some disappointments. And unfortunately, you had a major disappointment. For people who might not have heard the time you were on previously, can you kind of recap?
Sure. I guess my greatest area or season of life that I can define as being immensely disappointed was when my marriage of 17 years dissolved and I was left, as Eric said, with the rug pulled out from under me. And how do you find a new rug when the old one's been pulled out? And huge disappointment. And my whole world, I guess, I felt it had caved in on me. And I was surrounded in that particular season by both people who loved me and cared for me, but also by some well-meaning people who had also experienced crises that were not doing life so well. And I think the thing that defined those who were not doing life so well was that they began, I guess, to at some point in their crisis get stuck in the crisis and get stuck in the places where they were not able to move forward from. And the disappointment, I guess, began to define them rather than they themselves define their own future and their own sense of self-worth and value.
And what did that look like?
It looks a little bit like physical BO, I reckon. It's, you know, everyone knows you've got it, but you're the last one to know. And it is a place where you continuously bring up the places of crisis, the places of disappointment, the places of hurt, and those are the things that seem to entangle you and keep you stuck in the present. And when that happens, unfortunately, it also sticks you to the present and does not release you to live a forward-moving life. Everyone gets a hurt heart. That's unavoidable.
That's part of relationships. You're going to get disappointed eventually.
Absolutely. And everyone gets a hurt heart. You have in the past and you will in the future. So that's a given. We all get a hurt heart. A hurt heart, I think, is the sum total of lingering memories of wounds incurred from people and circumstances throughout life. We can't avoid a hurt heart. But if we hang on to the hurts and replaying them constantly, letting them define who we are, sadly, a hurt heart can lead to what I call a bitter spirit. Mm-hmm. And a bitter spirit is way more difficult to disentangle yourself from. A bitter spirit, on the other hand, is the result of revisiting and replaying and digging up the memories over and over and over, each time changing the scenario, either to incur hurt or revenge on someone else, or to punish ourselves. We can avoid a bitter spirit. That is avoidable.
Okay, now, say you had, you know, a very disappointing experience, something happened, and it really bothers you. And, you know, from time to time, you rehearse it. You tell other people about it, and then those old feelings come back again. Now, you don't want to go the other extreme and say, oh, no, it didn't hurt me. It didn't bother
denial.
Me. And denial. Yeah. I'm over it. I've forgiven and forgotten.
Yeah. But I think denial is as harmful as rehashing and living in that disappointment and crisis. There is a wonderful middle ground here. And my advice is always to find some good people that you can talk through your pain and failure and disappointment with and be very honest and be very practical. When I'm speaking to women's groups, I often talk about finding your red shoe friends. Red shoe friends are, well, red shoes, as every woman knows, are.
Yeah, please explain it.
Really?
I'm following this.
Red shoe friends are those friends that posture you back to purpose. Red shoes are items in our wardrobe that we have, that we put on red shoes deliberately. You don't stumble out of bed and, oh, look, I've stumbled into my gorgeous red shoes. Red shoes you put on deliberately. You buy an outfit to wear with red shoes. You don't ever buy red shoes to go with an outfit. You buy an outfit to go with red shoes. Red shoes are your deliberate shoes. They're your, look out, I'm coming with my red shoes, shoes. They're the sorts of friends that we need in our life at these times. So friends that will be deliberate people, friends that are, will posture us back to purpose in our life, friends that will be Kleenex friends for us for a while, but also will be strong friends that will give us great feedback and to help us get back on track, that will give us a hand to help move us out of our failure and disappointment and sadness
so
into the future.
So say if for the 15th or 20th time I've rehearsed the hurt, the red shoe friend would say, hey,
if you
get
don't
over
have,
it. Or what would they say?
They might. And if you don't have a red shoe friend that will do that, you need to get a bigger circle. So you need to get some more friends. So go and look for some friends that are going to be really honest with you and really strong and helpful for you in this season. And those friends you'll find are the friends that are going to be around for a really long time. Those are the sorts of friends that stay with you. But yeah, those are the sorts of friends that will say, do you know what? I may not understand your pain, but I do understand pain. But here's the thing. You can't live in that pain. Mm-hmm. And when you live in that pain, it actually repels people rather than draws people to you. It actually bonsais your life rather than helps your roots to grow deep for you to grow to the next level. A red shoe friend is going to actually say it how it is to you. And it may seem harsh. A lot of people don't like that. They'll walk away from that and they'll live in their self-definitions of failure and disappointment. And some people will take a wise ear and take stock of that and process that and say, do you know what? I think I have. I think I've talked about it too. I think people are sick of hearing it. And I think I've been honest enough with it. And now it's time for me to stop asking backward questions, which are, why did this have to happen to me? Why did they have to do this? Why did that have to happen? And start asking forward questions like, now that this has happened, what will I do? Where do I want to be? What do I want my future to look like?
So just stop rehearsing it. Whatever. It happened. You did feel the pain.
Talk it through. Yeah. Absolutely talk it through. Be honest about it. Say it as it is. Say the words. It's sometimes freeing to actually say it as it happened. And then find some good friends that are going to help you do this journey with strength and posture you back to your own purpose.
So not denying it. Being
absolutely
very honest.
Not.
This
absolutely
happened.
Not.
I really didn't like that. It really made me angry.
Totally. Denial can actually form a self-righteous piousness within us. And, you know, denial will often have those hushed voices over our life that still sing what's happened to us louder than we can hear the future calling us. So I think denial is a dysfunctional way to live. And it's often the way many people choose to handle failure and disappointment. But it's not freeing. It doesn't free you to actually live on purpose for your future.
And so if you have a red shoe friend, to use your term, who actually feels your pain and says, wow, that had to be terrible to go through something like that.
Yeah.
That makes you feel a bit better
absolutely.
In and of itself. Somebody gets my pain here. That's nice.
Totally.
But after you've done that,
yeah.
they don't want to hear it again and again and again. So, okay, we get it. You were hurt. Now move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we need to hear it again and again. And that's okay to rehash that for a while. But after the fifth year of rehashing a failure, I guess it's time to move on, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, and there's sometimes people, and unfortunately myself included, where you just know you need to avoid topic X because that just sets them off.
It triggers. It's a trigger. Yeah.
And that's like 20 years later sometimes.
Totally. I love to look at life in terms of seasons because sometimes there is a season, and the Bible talks about there is a season for mourning and a season for laughter, a season of picking up and a season for putting down. And there are seasons in life, and there is a season for picking up good friends, for picking up good advice, for picking up good counsel, and there is a season for putting down some of the things that have kept us chained and locked into definitions of hurt and failure and the past. And I love to look at life in terms of seasons because I think natural seasons teach us a lot about circumstantial seasons or physical seasons that we live through as human beings. Sometimes in the season of winter, we look and see that there are things that look dead in our lives and we just want to chop them down because mm-hmm. they don't look like they're living. They don't look like they're going to produce anything. But if we chop down all of our deciduous trees in winter, we wouldn't have any fruit in summer. So mm-hmm. there are things to recognize during the seasons of our life. There are always, I believe, things incubating within us that are the seeds that will help our next season look the way it will. So we determine that. Mm-hmm. Will it look the same way as last season looked, or will it look different? It depends on how we do this season, and what seeds we plant in this season will depend on what next season will look like.
We're speaking with Deborah Candler. She's the author of A Fascination with Ford. She's also a lecturer at Harvest Bible College on the Gold Coast. And we're talking about dealing with disappointment. Are we going to get stuck, or are we going to move forward? And we're going to move forward after we take a break right here on Marriage and Family Life, speaking with Deborah Candler.
You're listening to Marriage and Family Life from FamilyLifeAustralia.com. A reminder that you can now follow Marriage and Family Life on Facebook. You can share programs with friends and post your comments on the Marriage and Family Life Facebook page.
As Marriage and Family Life continues, we're speaking with Deborah Candler about dealing with disappointment. She's the author of A Fascination with Forward, and we're talking about how to move forward after we've been disappointed by some event that has happened in our lives. And so let's talk about that. Deborah, you know, sometimes we just have some really disappointing thing. Somebody does something to us that really irks us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's easy to get stuck. How do we get out of Stuckville, to use your term?
Okay. It was Albert Einstein that once said, you cannot solve problems in your life with the same level of thinking that created the problems, or that what you were using while the problems or the failures or the crisis happened. So to regain a new way of thinking, or to change the way you think about yourself or your future, is no mean feat. It's not an easy thing to do. We are stuck in patterns and ways of thinking about ourselves, our life, where we fit into the world. But I think when we are open to looking at different perspectives on why things are the way they are, who am I, we begin to start thinking on a different level than we were thinking in the problem or in the failure or in the disappointment. And I think that's a key point to moving your life forward. I think what happens generally to people in disappointment or failure or crisis is that they subconsciously even start to think, well, I guess it's plan B from now on. This happened, so therefore I'm stuck with this. This didn't happen, so therefore I'm left with this. I only have this now, and so I guess I've just got to make do with what
I've got. So they kind of lower the standards. They had this kind of idealistic
view of how things could be, or maybe even a great dream or a vision, as I had for my own life, that this is how it would look. And I think we all have our own happy ever afters, pictures of how we want life to end up, where we want to journey to. And and trying to navigate to that place is often the difficult thing. And often our journey gets intercepted along the way and it doesn't end up looking like it was supposed to look. Or certainly from today's perspective, it doesn't look like we're going to reach that place. And so people inevitably get stuck in a plan B mindset. So where did plan A go? Well, I don't know, but this is it. I'm stuck with this, so it's plan B. The interesting thing is that in the Bible I read that God had never created a plan B. There was only ever plan A. There are two particular places in the Bible that jump out at me, and there are two little segments. One of them's in 1 Peter and the other one's in the book of Revelation, written by a guy called John at the end of his days. And they say very similar things. They both say that the Lamb, who we know as Jesus, was slain at the foundation of the world. And we know that Jesus coming to live as a man on the earth and show us who God was, and then inevitably taking care of the sin issue for us by dying on the cross, We know that he did that, but when it says that he did that from the foundation of the world, before you and I were created, before God even began to put the world into place and before you and I were even thought of, that happened then, it happened in the heart and the mind of God before this was all created, says to me that there was only ever plan A. Mm-hmm. There was never, ever a plan B. The great rescue mission for mankind has already happened. Plan A exists. Mm. Now, I have to find out what that looks like for my life. If I think that there is a plan B, I will never, ever reach my full capacity and potential as a human being. I perhaps will never, ever know that I've got the capacity to navigate and journey towards that wonderful picture I thought my future could be. That wonderful outcome that I always wanted to happen at the end of my days. For some people, it might be a great marriage. Mm-hmm. For some people, it might be we're together with our estranged children. For some people, it might be we recover our finances that were lost. It could be anything for a number of people and a number of scenarios. But when we start to think, now that circumstances have happened, I'm stuck in plan B, it eats away like a white ant at our soul. From the inside out, and we stop believing that we have the capacity to live a great life. We stop believing that plan A ever existed, and we start living in this diminished mindset of plan B. And so we start surviving rather than thriving. We start existing rather than really living. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a sad place for us to end up. It might not be a devastating place, but I've always taught my children, kids, be anything you want to be, but just don't be ordinary. Because ordinary really doesn't achieve much. Anyone can be ordinary, but it takes something grand to become extraordinary.
Okay, well, let's just look at your life. You had the rug pulled out from underneath you. Mm-hmm. Your husband of 17 years left you and were in a very desperate situation financially as well as emotionally. You could have said, okay, now life is just about survival, just getting through this.
Yeah.
But yet, you're now a lecturer at a Bible college, you're an author, you do seminars, you're remarried and have a happy marriage?
Yes.
Would you say you're thriving?
I'd say I'm absolutely thriving.
So you did not say, hey, I'm just going to have to survive and be in Stuckville and be plan B. You're moving forward.
Certainly, but there was a season where I absolutely thought that way. There was a season where I absolutely thought, how do I just get by? How do I just do tomorrow? How do I get through today and this week? Certainly,
well,
there was a season.
Well, sometimes you have to live that way if you're in a severe
absolutely.
Crisis.
Absolutely. I think that's the starting point of just keeping your head above water.
Yeah.
And, you know, to start treading water is a good sign. It means you want to keep your head above water. And to start treading water means that you can then start to make some movement in your own life. And certainly for a while, it just felt like I was just treading water, just keeping my head above water. But that's a great sign because there's movement there. And I think the moment we stop moving is the moment we say, I'm at the mercy of the wind and the waves. I'm at the mercy of circumstances and whatever will be. And often that's not a good scenario. So absolutely, there was a time in my life where it was just survival and just keep your head above water. But then after a time of, okay, well, we are surviving. Is survival good enough now? Mm-hmm. We are keeping our head above water. Is that good enough now? What now? Is there more? And what were the dreams I had when I was a little girl? What were the dreams I had when I was at university? What were the things I always thought I wanted to do? And perhaps those things are now shrouded in voices that you're hearing that have said you could never do those things, or circumstances have said, well, I've just stabbed that in the foot. That's just been jeopardized or hijacked. You're never going to do that. And we have to sing louder songs over our life to get past those voices to live that dream again. But certainly survival is the first step, treading water and getting some movement happening. But when that happens, is that now good enough? What did you want to do and how will you get there? And I think that's often premised in the questions that we ask. What do I want to do? How then can I do that? And start to make some goals. The scary thing about making goals is that you write them down, then you look at them, and then you are compelled to think about maybe what is the first very small step I can do to achieve that first small goal, and then that second small goal. And for me, it was rehearsing the words that my dad always said over my life about what he saw in my life and what he saw I would achieve. And my dad, unfortunately, passed away just before this my book went to print, and it is dedicated to him. And it were his words that I recalled during my life that actually spurred me on to live the dreams that I felt were God's purpose over my life and was my purpose in life to influence other people and orient them towards living a bigger and better life, orient people towards thinking differently to get better outcomes for their own lives. I guess I would define that as my whole purpose in life.
And what role does your relationship with your Heavenly Father play in thriving, not just surviving?
A huge role. I guess my whole life is premised on that God has presenced himself, not just in the world, but in my life. And so therefore, if a God who is a designing, loving, purposeful God has presenced himself in my life, there has to be a greater capacity within me to do some bigger things that I'm doing now and maybe some better things that I'm doing now. So I guess premising my life on the principles of what I call God's word in the Bible has been unashamedly my framework for how I make decisions and do my life. Some of those principles I've called anchors. And those things are what I also call my non-negotiables. They are the areas I don't move in. They are the areas that anchor us in who we are. And when I have anchors, it actually helps my internal navigation system navigate life better because they're anchored in principles that I believe are eternal principles that transcend people's circumstances. It transcends gender, time, race. They are universal for all people. And I know that pain is universal, but healing is less so. And these timeless principles, I guess, are in place for every person to be able to navigate their way through difficult crisis without placating or diminishing anyone's personal pain. These principles from God's word, living, understanding that he is a loving God who never stopped being that, will actually help you navigate through these times of hardship or pain or crisis.
And lastly, how does how we respond to disappointment affect our relationships, like in our marriages and in our families?
The way we respond to people is directly connected to whether we have been able to forgive or not. So forgiveness is, for me, a permanent attitude rather than an occasional act. And a permanent attitude is one that I can disassociate or disconnect myself from circumstances that have, or people that have either directly and deliberately or indirectly and by accident injured my heart or jeopardized my journey in some way or another. I guess it's directly proportional to how I forgive or disconnect myself from that. It's directly proportional as to how I will, with health, move forward. And I'm not talking disconnecting as in forgiving and forgetting. None of us forget. It becomes part of the framework of who we are. We don't forget anything. And my memories of my own personal crisis do not contain the same sting that they had when it happens. Have I diminished it in any way? Absolutely not. I have not diminished it in any way, but I haven't allowed them to have a voice over who I am and where I'm going. And I think that's really important. And that directly affects our relationships with other people.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom with us today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Eric.
Deborah Candler is the author of A Fascination with Forward, and she's been giving us some practical advice on how we can move forward after dealing with some type of disappointment. If you'd like to find out more information about her book or her ministry, you can go to deborahcandler.com. That's www.deborahcandler.com, and she's also a lecturer at Harvest Bible College on the Gold Coast.
Well, I hope today's Marriage and Family Life has been helpful to you. And if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is info@familylifeaustralia.com. That's info@familylifeaustralia.com. And our toll-free number is 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-358-6329. And for more on marriage and family or to listen online, our website is familylifeaustralia.com. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next time for Marriage and Family Life, presented by Family Life Australia, helping people find love that lasts.